remember hearing on the radio Nathan Abshar, who was singing his Pine Grove Blues, and in the middle of the song, he says something to the effect of, "Oh, the good times are killing me." Makes one think, though, if the good times are killing us, then are they really good times at all? Or are we kind of pursuing some kind of a false dream, a selfish pleasure? Nobody likes to suffer. We would all rather be joyful. We'd rather have a good time. But every once in a while, we have to do something that calls us to self-sacrifice. It might be something that has to do with our job, maybe something to do with the family, or the fact that maybe there's something that we can do, but we shouldn't, because we need to give a good example of encouragement to somebody else. It's okay for us to suffer in the pursuit of doing what's good. And St. Peter talks about that in the second reading. Beloved, if you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace. It's a blessing from God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Remember, we talked about the charism, the mark of the soul that comes with baptism and confirmation. And really and truly, I certainly believe that has to do with the wounds of Christ, that we carry the wounds of Christ in us. As Christians, we're signed with the cross, and we're meant to suffer with Christ just as we live with Christ in his resurrection. And as he offers himself to as a sacrifice to the Father, he's asking us to offer up ourselves too as a sacrifice with him for the good of other people. It's all about bringing grace into the world. We receive grace for ourselves, and we're extending that grace to the world. So Christ left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps, so that you and I could leave an example to others, that they too can follow Christ as they follow us. Going back to Jesus, St. Peter said, when he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. That would be God, his Father. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness, that we could be holy and blameless in the Father's sight. By the wounds of Christ, we have been healed. After all, every one of us has gone astray like sheep, and St. Peter's echoing Isaiah when he says that, but now we have returned to Christ, who is the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. Today is oftentimes called Good Shepherd Sunday. We think about Christ, who is the shepherd, leading us into salvation, as the 23rd Psalm says so beautifully. He guides and protects us in the shadow of death and brings us to the fresh, clear water, and of course into the house of the Good Shepherd forever. When you look at the role of a shepherd, shepherds guide and protect their sheep. They bring them to fresh pastures. They bring them to still, sweet water. They seek out the lost. Shepherds heal the wounded. They help them in times of trouble and distress. Shepherds are there to help their sheep reach maturity. The presence of a shepherd to the sheep brings calm and reassurance. The Old Testament clearly sees God the Father as the supreme shepherd. We, as the people of the New Covenant, see Christ himself as our good shepherd. And subsequently, the church calls her leaders, the Holy Father, the bishops, pastors, the priests, as shepherds of the church. The church itself, I'm talking about the church worldwide, as well as our local church here, is considered a sheepfold, right? All of us together, as sheep of God's pasture. We are his sheep. We are the flock that he shepherds. And not in a negative sense. There are some people who say, look at all those people following a church, how crazy they must be, how deluded they are, you know, following all kinds of nonsense. And so they use the term sheeple. That's what we are. We're sheeple. Okay? Like sheep, just kind of mindlessly following whoever we find so charismatic, and we just say, oh yeah, this is the one. We're going to follow him and do whatever he or she says. But we're not. It's not how we are. This flock, this church, is a community of love. At least that's what we're supposed to be. A community of love. People who are not just mindlessly following whoever, but people who actually use our hearts and use our minds, that is, to use our intellect and our will, all of the abilities and the gifts that God gave us, to do what? To understand our faith better, to discern God's will, to do God's will, and simply to follow the example of Christ, to offer up ourselves as a sacrifice and to do good to others. It's for us to do our best, for us to be our best, and to do everything that we do out of love for God and one another. Basically, it's having a desire to do the right thing, a desire to seek God and do the right thing. The church and the shepherds together are there to lead us to Christ and to become the people that Christ wants us to be. Now, if this is true of the larger church, and it is, then it's also true of the smaller church, the little smaller churches that build up the big church. And what I'm talking about is the domestic church, that is, the family. The family is the church in microcosm. So as our nation celebrates Mother's Day today, it's good for us as Catholics to think about the role of Mary and the role that she played in the Holy Family. And with the Holy Family we see together as our Blessed Lady with St. Joseph at her side and Jesus as the very center of the home, as he should be. But we see in the Holy Family the model for all Christian families, and certainly in Mary and Joseph, the model for all Christian parents. When a man and woman come to the altar and pledge their love, their lifelong love and fidelity to each other in the sacrament of holy matrimony, they also promise to accept children lovingly from God and to bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church, that is, according to the gospel. When their children are born and parents bring them to be baptized, they promise to teach their children by their word, most importantly by their example, about the faith. That is, they pledge they're going to pray with them, pray for them, teaching them their prayers, taking them to Mass, going over their religion lessons from school or from CCD, etc. In other words, it's for parents to teach their children what it means to be a Catholic, what we believe, and how we live. Now, all of us can admit that growing up, we didn't do everything our parents told us to do. But we certainly followed their example, and we all notice that the older we become, we are, the more like our parents we become. And the same thing with children. It can never be a do as I say and not as I do kind of thing. Kids follow their parents' example. So when you think about good shepherds, parents are meant to be shepherds. Shepherds to their children, their lambs, if you would, leading their children to Christ. And like shepherds, they guide their children in the ways of justice and truth and righteousness, teaching their children to be holy, teaching their children good manners and good morals. Good parents, some can even say grandparents, who also have a role in this together, are there to protect their children from anyone or anything that would harm them, either physically or spiritually, mentally or emotionally. Parents are there to protect their children from all harm, not to destroy their innocence, but to help their children grow to a healthy maturity. Parents are asked by God to care for their children with decent food, clothing, and shelter, of course, but it also means working hard and even sacrificing their own pleasures for the good of their children. They provide their children with good books, the best education they can, with good company, with wholesome entertainment, and give them a love for learning and a love for working hard and being proud of what they can do. Good parents are there to help shape their children's minds and their children's characters. Good parents pray for their children and encourage their children who might lose their way. If you lay a good foundation, there's no guarantee that your children might not do something that you would consider inappropriate later on, or even fall off the path that you showed them, but eventually they come back with your prayers and with your encouragement. A parent's not there to tell you the kids, you see, I told you so, or it's good that this happened to you to teach you a lesson. No, instead, they're there to help heal the wounds. Just as when they were small, you healed their wounds and their illnesses, so when they become adults, it's to heal the wounds and the illnesses of their minds and their souls. Good parents are there to be assurance, an assurance in times of trouble and distress. Never there to agitate, but always there to say, how can I help? Good parents are never overbearing. Good parents are never intrusive or invasive. Rather, they bring a calm reassurance. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, let's thank God for our good mothers and our good fathers, too, our good parents who help to shepherd us. Thank God for parents, shepherds like this, and to also pray for and forgive those who maybe missed the mark and were not as good parents as they should have been. Let's also ask the Good Shepherd that all of us, whether we're parents or pastors or anyone and everyone who has the care of others as part of their calling, can have hearts like his, true shepherd's hearts, that through us the Good Shepherd may lead his flock from the darkness of sin in the valley of death to the joy of an abundant life.